This program is a production of the Reformed Forum, online at reformedforum.org. In today's episode, Jim reviews Orthodox and Modern, Studies in the Theology of Karl Barth by Bruce McCormick, and we also look at the Oxford Handbooks on Systematic Theology and Early Christian Studies. All this and more ahead on the Reformed Media Review. Welcome to the Reformed Media Review, a podcast in which we talk about all things Reformed theology as it pertains to books, culture, movies, films, anything that happens to be out dealing with Reformed theology. I am Camden Busey. And I have with me today Nick Batzig, who is church planter near Savannah, Georgia. What was the name of the town again, Nick?
It's Richmond Hill.
Richmond Hill. I knew that. And I also have Jim Cassidy, who's pastor at Calvary Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Ringo's, New Jersey. Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
All right, Camden.
Hey, Camden.
Well, today we've got probably a shorter program lined up, but we need to get some book news out to you. We've got a couple reviews to speak about, but first we wanted to talk about any new news or events, anything that's coming out so we can let our listeners know. Nick, I know you had something to mention.
Yeah, I think we want to remind our listeners, if they haven't read this already, that Scott Clark, professor out at Westminster, California, has made an announcement that he is going to be blogging, doing live blogging for the Calvin's Legacy Conference, which is Westminster Seminary, California's contribution to the Calvin 500. This is their, I guess, annual conference, and it will begin Friday the 16th, which is actually 1 week from today or tomorrow?
No, today. Yeah.
My days are off. Sorry, it's Friday.
No, it happens.
So by the time this airs, I don't know if this will be out or not.
Oh, yeah. We'll put this out probably today or Monday. So
okay, good.
People will have the option if they're subscribing. They'll hear about this in time. So keep your eyes open for that because that's going to be good.
And you can read more about that on the Feeding on Christ blog or on Heidelblog. And Justin Taylor may have actually posted something. I also wanted to mention Greenville Seminary's conference. You know, I don't know if our listeners know, I actually went to Greenville Seminary for my seminary education. And I want to say that this year's conference looks incredible. I'm just going to read off a couple of the speakers. It is, of course, a conference on Calvin, like everyone else is doing, but it'll be, I'm trying to see the exact dates, I'll have to find those in a second, but they are having Dr. McGoldrick, who's a church historian at Greenville, George Knight, who is, of course, a pretty esteemed New Testament exegete, wrote great commentary in the NIGNT series on pastoral theology. He'll be speaking. Carl Truman will be speaking. He doesn't need really any introduction. Joseph Pipa, Dr. Pipa, the president of Greenville, will be speaking on the preaching of Calvin, I believe. David Hall, who is really an awesome guy and heading up the Calvin 500, he will be speaking. I'm trying to think who else. Ian Hamilton, pastor of Cambridge Presbyterian Church, will be one of the speakers. Joel Beakey, Mark Garcia, Terry Johnson, who is the pastor of the church I am planning a church out of down in Savannah. Tim Terrell, and then, of course, the last speaker will be Paul Helm. This looks like it's going to be a phenomenal conference. So I wanted to give our listeners a heads up on that. That is going to be, I'm trying to find the exact dates, March 10th through 12th.
Right.
And that's, of course, in Greenville, South Carolina. It's a very affordable conference. I also want to mention right now, Greenville does every year a Pastors Institute. Last year they had Ian Hamilton come and teach mostly ministers and seminarians about pastoral ministry. This year, Dr. Pipa, what I've been told is he is going to be the main speaker, and he's going to be taking a look at a list of sermons by men like Mark Dever, Lig Duncan, Sinclair Ferguson, C.J. Mahaney, kind of our better-known Calvinist and Reformed preachers, and he is going to be helping men analyze the way these men preach critiquing their sermons, showing what strengths they have, what we can learn from them. I really think that sounds like it's going to be an awesome Pastors Institute. So the exact dates, again, it's sometime in July, I believe, the beginning of August. But keep your eyes open for that. Check the GPTS website. I think it's gpts.edu. That's it for me. So
nice. Jim, did you have any news or conferences, anything else to mention before we get into our books?
No, that sounds great. I would urge people to take advantage of that, to this idea of a pastor's institute preparing the next generation of preachers. That's awesome to hear. That's great stuff. I might also just add in connection with that, in the summertime, if you find yourself in the upper Midwest United States, during the summertime, the OPG General Assembly is having a mini pre-assembly conference where we're going to be talking about Calvin. We might have mentioned this on Christ Center as well in the past, but just another thing to look forward to in terms of Calvin. A friend of mine, Glenn Clary, is going to be speaking on preaching of Calvin. And again, I think that we have a lot to learn as preachers today from the great preachers of the past, and I would commend that pre-assembly conference to people who are finding themselves up there.
Nice, and I'll make sure that I put a link to all these things into our show notes as well as the conferences I'll put on our shared calendar. You can visit at reformedforum.org/calendar for all of that information. Is there anything else?
Well, actually, Kimden, I do want to also mention the Biblical Expository Workshop that is going to be going on at 10th Presbyterian Church. It's in February. I don't know the exact dates, but it's put on by the Simeon Trust. For those of our listeners that don't know about that, that is headed up by David Helm, no relationship to Paul Helm. And it was done under the oversight, I believe, of Dick Lucas. It might have actually been started by Dick Lucas. And then, of course, Kent Hughes, who was at College Church in Wheaton. But the Simeon Trust goes around the United States, and I think in England they do these too, and they might be under a different name there, but they do these expositors workshops at different churches. And the one in Philadelphia is usually at 10th Presbyterian. I went last year. It was outstanding. They really help ministers wrestle with the text and how to preach the text. Phil Ryken will demonstrate. He'll do a couple workshops where he demonstrates how to preach Christ out of the Old Testament, how to preach the Sermon on the Mount, other difficult portions of Scripture that men struggle with. So I encourage our listeners to go on 10th Presbyterian's website and find out. It's coming up in February, but find out the exact dates of the Biblical Expositors Workshop. And if you're in the area, go to that.
Nice.
I hear that's great, by the way.
Yeah, it was really superb. I mean, I benefited greatly.
Well, if that's it, I think we'll get into our book news and reviews. The first book we wanted to mention is Orthodox and Modern, Studies in the Theology of Karl Barth by Bruce McCormick. This is published by Baker Academic. Looks like it came out in 2008, so it's fairly new. Now, Jim, you've gotten your hands on this one.
Yeah, I have. I'm preparing a review, hopefully, for future publication on this. And so I wanted to share some thoughts and some comments about the book. The first is let me just lay out the structure of the book and what its contents are. It's a volume that has a collection of essays that are previously published. So these articles were published in various journals as well as other volumes out there, and Dr. McCormick has gathered them all together here and edited them for this one volume work. It's very helpful because McCormick's work, many of his articles are scattered. They're spread here, there, and everywhere, and sometimes you can find them in databases and sometimes you can't. And so he has, in a very helpful way, collected many of his most important articles and gathered them together as they center on the theology of Karl Barth. The book is laid out in four parts. The first part is on Karl Barth's relationship to the 19th century theology, where he draws connections between Barth's theology and Schleiermacher's theology and the theology of liberalism. I'll talk about that again in a moment, because some of you may be scratching your head and saying, appropriately, there's connections between Barth and Schleiermacher. I thought they were, you know, polar opposites. And Dr. McCormick says, no, not really. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Part two is on Barth's relationship to post-liberalism and postmodernism, where McCormick asking the question, is Barth a proto or the father of postmodern theology? Or post-liberal theology, for that matter. Part three is on Karl Barth's theological ontology, where the lead article in that part is his now controversial article called Grace and Being, the Role of God's Gracious Election in Karl Barth's Theological Ontology. That is an article that appeared in the Cambridge Handbook on Karl Barth, which stirred all sorts of controversy among Barthians over the relationship between God's being and his act of election or his decision of election. McCormick will argue in this article that God's being is constituted by his act of election. So his being, particularly as triune, that he is constituted by his act of election. And that is not a point agreed upon by all Barthians. And so that caused all sorts of a controversy among Barthians, and that controversy is still in many ways going on today. And then part four are occasional writings, book reviews, and things of that nature. I do want to address the question that may be on some of our listeners' minds with the title. May say, well, what's up with the title, Orthodox and Modern? When we talk about Karl Barth, we don't really think of him as being either or. And so McCormick's purpose in this title is very clear. He's trying to sharpen and refocus how we understand and see Karl Barth's theology. Usually he is casted as being anti-modern and anti-orthodox, and here he wants to argue in its volume that Karl Barth is both orthodox and modern. Yes, Jim, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I heard R.C. Sproul say once that in the phrase, in the term neo-orthodoxy, you should drop the E out of the neo.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I would agree with that. Now, what's interesting is that in the introduction to the volume, Dr. McCormick actually redefines for us the word orthodox, and he redefines it along Barthian lines. In fact, he invokes a citation from Karl Barth himself as he tries to redefine the meaning of what orthodoxy is. The problem is that the definition of orthodoxy he gives, quite frankly, isn't very orthodox. It's Barthian. And so we can understand now why he would call orthodox and modern, because of the redefinition that he is giving to the term orthodox. Now, what's interesting is that as you go to that first section, which is Karl Barth's relationship to the 19th century theology, he's got a couple of articles on Barth's relationship with Schleiermacher, and then another one with 19th century liberalism. And what he argues is that there's an affinity there between Karl Barth and Schleiermacher and 19th century liberalism. Now, he is purposely drawing those connections in many ways in a contradistinction from the views of most Barthians, which say, no, you know, Barth is over here and liberals are over there and the twain shall not meet. But he's saying, no, actually, they're much closer than we have thought for many years. But what's interesting for our listeners particularly, and for those who are fans of Cornelius Van Til, as we are here, is that Van Til made this connection over 60 years ago in his book called The New Modernism, where he argued that Karl Barth and M.O. Bruner's theology is really just a recasting of liberalism, of modernism. It's really not a break with the 19th century liberalism. So what's interesting now is that fans of Karl Barth's, guardians like Bruce McCormick, are now vindicating what Van Til said so long ago in his New Modernism, as well as his Christianity and Barthianism volume as well.
And Van Til received a lot of criticism for that at the time.
Yeah.
And now we have one of the world's, if not the world's, foremost Barthian scholar saying the same things.
Exactly. And, of course, what's a bit disappointing in this volume is that McCormick doesn't give Van Til any credit for for having previously made that connection. So, you know, people have asked me, you know, do you recommend this book? Why are we reviewing this book on this forum? And my answer that I give is that, well, if you're looking for a book to understand Barth better, there's no better book than this one. Well, I would also recommend McCormick's Karl Barth's Critical Realism, but as perhaps the first place to go. This volume as being the second place to go, because I think that McCormick has got Barth right over against Barthian's interpretation of Barth's theology. And McCormick is done a very good job of expounding the thought and the theology of Karl Barth. So if you're looking for a book that's modern, that talks about Karl Barth in his modern context, this is a great volume, and I recommend it. Now, if you're looking for a book orthodox, at least in the way in which orthodoxy has been historically understood, this is not the book for you. I don't recommend it at all.
Caveat emptor. Buyer beware.
That's right. And just, you know, with the sermon, again, if you want to understand Barth from the Barthian's mouth, this is a great volume. But if you're looking to be edified and to become more acquainted with sound biblical and reformed theology, this isn't it, the volume for you. So that's my review.
Nice. Well, thank you for that. Again, that was Orthodox and Modern Studies in the Theology of Karl Barth from Baker Academic. You can pick that up from Amazon. I don't know if Westminster is carrying it. I would imagine they are. But we'll have a link to that in our notes. Yeah, they might not. But regardless, you can find that, and I'll have a link to it in the notes. Jim, you had a couple others you wanted to mention, too, some from Oxford.
Yeah, thanks. I have these couple of volumes here that really do look very good. They might look better on the outside than on the inside, but the first one is the Oxford Handbook of Systematic Theology, a very nicely bound presented volume. It is edited by John Webster, Catherine Tanner, and Ian Torrance, the current president at Princeton Seminary in Princeton, New Jersey. This is perhaps the most up-to-date, published in 2007, but it's probably one of the most up-to-date single volumes that lays out the scope of contemporary systematic theology. Now, again, what you're not going to get in this volume is Orthodox Reformed theology. You're just not going to find that here. So again, if you're looking for edification, pick up Bonk or Van Til or you know, anybody other than this. What this is helpful for, as far as I can tell thus far, is to give you a sense of where modern or contemporary scholarship is in the field of systematic theology. As far as I could tell, many of the authors that are given here are coming at you from a Barthian perspective. Again, John Webster is a staunch Barthian. His introduction, in fact, let me just take a moment to talk about his introduction, because it very much sets the context. He lays out a history of systematic theology. Now, he's just doing it in three pages here, so it's a very brief history of systematic theology. But it's interesting that throughout this history of systematics, he never mentions Turretin, Francis Turretin. He never mentions Charles Hodge. He never mentions Louis Berkhof or Hermann Bavinck, none of the what we would consider mainstream Orthodox theologians. Here mentioned. All of them tend to be everything from medieval Catholicism to right on through to – it's almost like skip the Reformation and post-Reformation period and get to the time of liberalism and then, of course, a strong focus on Bardianism as well. Now, Thomas Aquinas, of course, is mentioned in this survey. Luther is mentioned, but the great post-Reformation theologians are completely ignored. Now, what's interesting, again, in this introduction is the way in which it is very typical of contemporary systematic theology to speak against propositions that if you are setting forth a propositional theology, particularly if you're going to talk about the Trinity or the Incarnation, he called those disciplines, when you talk about the Trinity or the Incarnation, as speculative topics. Those are topics that focus on as systematic theologians. Biblical theologians will talk about more important stuff. You know, us systematic theologians, as we talk about the Trinity or the Incarnation or the doctrine of God, those are speculative topics for John Webster. And I don't find that a particularly helpful paradigm. In fact, I find it to be a quite harmful paradigm for trying to understand the field of systematic theology. But just to laying out the structure of the volume, it's in several parts, four parts altogether. The first part is on particular doctrines. So they'll talk about the existence of God, the Trinity, the attributes of God, creation, providence, election, etc. There is one article that's in here by Oliver Crisp. He may be perhaps the, as far as I could tell from these names, one of the more conservative scholars in this volume. There's also a Roman Catholic scholar who does the sacraments. Part two is on sources. So they'll talk about revelation, scripture, tradition, worship, reason, experience. Part three is conversations, biblical studies, moral theology, history, hermeneutics, etc. And then the last section is on prophets, where they talk about different types of contemporary theology, such as postmodern theology, liberation theology, comparative theology, and I'm a Catholic who does that article, feminist theology, etc. So you're really getting a very broad scope of what's happening in contemporary systematics. Believe it or not, people are doing systematic theology outside of conservative evangelical yes. reform circles. Now, in my opinion, it tends to not be very good or helpful, but they are doing it, and it is important for us as Reformed pastors, seminarians, theologians, to be acquainted with what is going on in the broader scholarly world. And this volume is helpful to that end, to pick it up and to read the different articles. It's a monstrous volume. It will take you a while to get through it all, but it's helpful as a resource to put on your shelf and say, you know, I'm attending, some PhD seminars at this local university or whatever, or a class here or there, or I'm interacting with this mainline pastor down the road. He keeps talking about liberation theology. What is it? Well, you could go here and open to it, that chapter, and become well informed of what the current trends are. And it is an expensive volume, but if you could find it used somewhere, it might be good. And then just lastly, I want to mention, I haven't read through it yet, so I'm not prepared to give a full review, but the Orthodox Handbook, the Oxford Handbook of Early Christian Studies. Again, a volume looks to be very helpful in keeping us up to date on current trends in scholarship, particularly if you're interested in early church history. This is going to be a volume that will be very helpful to you, a good resource to have on your shelf. It's in eight parts, talking about prolegomena, evidence, material and textual identities, regions, structures and authorities, expressions of Christian culture, ritual, piety, practice, theological themes, the early church, and a host of scholars brought together here, a number of Roman Catholic scholars. Frankly, I like to go to the Roman Catholic scholars to find to learn about my early church history. Seems as if they know it in a way in which contemporary evangelical scholarship has fallen short. But so there's some helpful stuff that looks like it's in here. But anyway, those two handbooks are the latest and the newest from Oxford. And again, they have their usefulness, but read with much discernment.
Those two, again, are the Oxford Handbook of Systematic Theology and the Oxford Handbook of Early Christian Studies. Again, you can find them in our bibliography. Nick, did you have something else to mention before we sign off today?
Yeah, I wanted to mention, I had forgotten about this, but actually Challies over at challies.com had posted this as well. There is an eschatology web conference. The Midwest Center for Theological Studies is hosting a web conference with, Sam Waldron, Kim Riddlebarger, Dick Gaffin, and Vern Poitras. They'll be obviously talking about eschatology. The conference is scheduled to be 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. this Saturday, January 10th, so I guess tomorrow. So anyone that hears this in time might want to tune into that.
That's great, and I'll put that on the blog as well as a link in the show notes.
I'm sure if anybody misses it, there will be audio they can download.
Nice. That'd be good. That looks good. I didn't know about that. Thanks for mentioning that, and I'll put that link in, and hopefully other people will be able to attend. Looks like that's going to be hosted on Acrobat.com, which is an interesting website that Adobe's putting out. Live conferencing, and you can share your desktop and stuff. So that should be pretty interesting. I'm curious to see how that works out in the conference setting because I've used it for business. That link will be in the show notes, and you can attend the conference from the comfort of your home, doing whatever it is you do there.
Ironing and listening to the conference.
Well, this has been another good episode of the Reformed Media Review. I'd like to point people back to the website. You can visit reformedforum.org for all your Reformed theology audio needs. We hope to have some new things coming up, as I keep mentioning, here in the new year. So look forward to that. If you'd like to subscribe to us, you can find us in iTunes, or you can find the RSS podcast feeds on the website and get these things automatically downloaded to your computer at your convenience. I'd also point people to feedingonchrist.com, which has been putting out a plethora of posts, if that's the right word, a cornucopia of Reformed knowledge at the fingertips of Nick Batzig and as well as his cohorts. So you can visit feedingonchrist.com for more information as well. I want to thank everyone for listening. And since Jeff is not here, I'll have to mention it myself. Tola Lege, take up and read.